The text for our meditation this morning is taken from 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may not know this, but years ago there was a high school here on this campus along with the college. At that time, I was a little boy living right near here. My father was the dean of students. One night, I remember specifically, we had come out of a high school basketball game in the old South Gym, and we're out in the back parking lot, which is now tarred, but at the time was just gravel. We must have been the ones locking up the gym that night. I was about 7 years old with my dad and my brother, and we got into the car, big old Cadillac. And as we looked ahead and we came out of the building, we were one of the last ones out of the gym that night. There were about five, maybe 15, 16-year-old young men sitting on a bunch of bricks in the back of the building outside, smoking, looking kind of tough, and trying to look like they were looking for some trouble. My dad said to my brother, I remember I was sitting in the back seat, he said, "Do you recognize any of those guys?" And my brother said, "No." And my dad said, "Watch this." And he started revving up the engine, put it in neutral, and suddenly hit the headlights and the high beams and did a neutral drop and went flying as fast as he could in the gravel toward this pile of bricks. And these five teenagers just freaked out and ran. And I remember he got out of the car and yelled at them, "Don't come back to this campus." And when he came back to the car that day, I had a little different appreciation for my dad. I always thought he was kind of a pushover and a wimp, which, you know, most pastors are. But I forgot that he had grown up on the streets of Chicago. It's easy for us at times to maybe overestimate the danger that the devil may pose to us, our enemy. We can be tempted in this world as Christians to live in fear. There are times when it would appear that the devil has supremacy in this world, where he is certainly allowed to reign. This is referred to as his kingdom in the scriptures. And so it shouldn't surprise us that he has reign here on the earth. And there are many times in this life when we as Christians look at what's going on here and we can assume that he is winning. We can assume that he's pretty tough. We can be intimidated by him. And we can be a little bit fearful of the fact that he can seem so dominant here in this world and have such apparent control. And those who represent his cause and those who are aligned with him in this world are numerous. They're all around us. They're everywhere. And they can come at us as members of Christ's church and assault us and intimidate us and sometimes make us very afraid. And that's one of the reasons the devil seems so powerful in this world, is he has so many allies. This world itself is his ally and works on his side and for his cause. But we have to remember, of course, his constitution, what makes up the devil. He is nothing more than a fallen angel. He has no more powers than any angel and is very limited in that. Now, certainly, God has much to say in Scripture about how we should not underestimate our enemy and certainly realize the danger he poses to each of us and the temptations and so on. But at the same time, let's not overestimate him. Let's not ascribe to him so much power that we live in fear and cower in intimidation. There's no need for that. Sometimes an athletic team is going to be playing another team that they know they can dominate so easily. It's such an inferior football or basketball team or baseball or whatever that the coach decides that for that specific game, they're going to use their poorest players on the bench and start, if you will, the weakest players, partly to show that they can still intimidate and dominate and win with such supremacy. God himself when he has gone into battle, and even now goes to battle, with this enemy that can intimidate us. God has chosen to use some of the weakest forms and the lowliest methods to carry out his work. Think about it. Yes, he takes his most powerful son to send him into the world, but he has him come in like a baby. In fact, a poor baby to a poor family. He has him grow up as the scrawny son of a carpenter, doesn't even own any possessions at all in this world, has no great political power to his name. God has chosen to defeat the devil of all things through a dead body, through a corpse. He chooses 12 very lowly apostles, some of them fishermen, nothing against fishermen, but fishermen. He chooses fishermen to conquer the world. He takes a handful of water. He takes common bread and wine. He takes a little old book that's been read for centuries. And he takes the voices of sweaty preachers. And through that, he defeats the devil with all of these lowly means. You know, it's as if God is saying to us when we look at his means of grace and the way that Christ has come into this world to win the great victory over Satan, it's as if God is saying to us, just think how powerful I must be. If I can do it through these measly, lowly, little things, just think of the power and the dominance that I must have. Now, we should not be surprised in this world that we as believers in Christ will find that the mission of Christ's church and we, the members of his church, are going to be assaulted for our faith. That shouldn't surprise us. That's the way of the world, and this is the place where Satan has his rule and his dominion. We shouldn't live in the delusion that somehow if we do this and this and this, this world is going to get better, and somehow Christianity is going to dominate more, and we're going to make the world more moral, and so on. We shouldn't live under that false delusion. We can certainly hope for it, pray for it, and work toward it. But our Lord himself warns us that as we get closer to the end of time, there will be an increase of wickedness. So let's not be surprised when we see that around us. And there will be a great defection from the faith, our Lord also warns. So let's not falsely assume, let's have, first of all, a healthy respect for the devil, but let's not falsely assume that he is somehow on the same plane and scale with our Lord Jesus. All it took was just a little sentence from Christ, and the strongest cohorts of the devil were thrown out of a man into a herd of swine and thrown over a cliff. And when Jesus sends out his marching orders to his church to go out and carry out the mission of bringing the gospel to many people, he didn't wrap his great commission command to us in timidity. Instead, he pushed behind it his entire force of authority. All authority has been given to me, he says, on heaven and on earth. And with the gospel and the means of grace, we can now go with that power and authority backing us. Now, there may be times when we look out at the world and we think of what's happening in the world and how we can be assaulted for our faith. There may be times when we think the devil is winning. There may be times when it looks like what God tells us in his word doesn't truly make sense. Our experience and our senses and what we observe doesn't always match up with his promises that we seem to have in Scripture, and we do have in Scripture. But we must remember that faith recalls the strength of our Almighty God. Faith remembers the walls of Jericho coming down. Faith remembers how he delivered Gideon from thousands with just a handful of soldiers. Faith remembers Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being protected in the fiery furnace. Faith remembers Daniel in the lion's den. And yes, our enemy is going to have his day. He's going to appear at times to win many battles, and he might even cause some to fall away from our ranks, maybe even people that we know. And he might even shrink the numbers of the church. And yet, God would have us look at the empty tomb outside of Jerusalem. Think of it this way. Satan has thrown his strongest, most powerful weapon at our Lord Jesus. And Jesus took it and turned it into a nap. A nap. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. O little flock, fear not the foe. With us remains the kingdom. Amen. Please join me then in the morning prayer that you will find on page 167, Dr. Luther's morning prayer, the first one on the page. Page 167. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray you to protect me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen.